Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the end of Jonah, finally. I'm starting at the end of chapter 3, verse 10, and going through the end of the book. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, God had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction God had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is it not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give to shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But Jonah said, "Do you have any right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," Jonah said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and as many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" I realized something last night. And that's not an exaggeration. This sermon got finished between last night and this morning, and I don't feel bad about that this week. Which kind of pointed to why I realized this, because I was exhausted. We moved Alan Sue last night, and everyone who was there knows just how much work we put into that. Everyone was tired at the end. So I'm sitting in the shower, and the water is just running on me. And I'm like, I am so tired. I am so exhausted. I could just feel the tension and the stress and the exhaustion waiting on my shoulders. And I thought about a couple of the really immature things I've done this week because of my exhaustion. And I sat there and it just weighed on me. And I realized, I'm like, Jonah had to be exhausted by this point. He had to be worn out and just done. Think about the journey he went on to get to this point. He's being commanded to go to Nineveh, and so he gets on a boat to travel across the Mediterranean. And his night's sleep is interrupted by the great storm. The only relief from the great storm that he receives is when the ship's crew throws him overboard. He risks drowning, and he's willing to drown. He decided that he'd rather die than to experience what God wants him to do. And so he risks drowning, and the only relief he gets from drowning is the giant fish. The giant fish comes and swallows him. I'm assuming he didn't sleep much in the fish. Just an assumption. I'm assuming the fish is like a cold and wet prison cell, not like a retreat center. So he probably got little sleep in there. And the only relief he got from the fish was when the fish spit him up on dry land and God told him, "Get up and go." And so he basically immediately, when he's on dry land, gets up and goes to Nineveh. And he goes to Nineveh and he preaches fire and brimstone, hellfire and damnation for a day. and doing this to people that he hates. So he probably enjoys the preaching, but he knows what the consequence of this preaching is going to be. And then the Ninevites actually listen to his sermon, and they repent, and God saves them. And so he's had this wild, exhausting journey. And then at the end of it, he didn't even get what he wanted. And so he goes and sits up outside the city and just sits there and stares at Nineveh, waiting for God to not destroy it. He wants God to destroy it, but he knows it's not going to happen. And he just has to be exhausted. I'm quite positive everything here is exacerbated by his exhaustion. Every response he has is exacerbated by his exhaustion. A little bit of confession and storytelling here. Friday night, Nora and I were going to go out for supper. We did end up going out for supper. And I wanted to go to Trouble Brewing. Trouble Brewing stands right next to, what is the name of that building? Yes, that one. Shine Law Office. Everyone's figured this out already. I get within a block of Trouble Brewing. Its location doesn't matter 364 days of the year, but I get within a block of it, and there is a giant truck and a very annoyed-looking officer directing traffic. And I'm like, can we get around? Can I get there? No. I didn't know what was going on until I put it on Facebook, and the pastor at first was like, oh, it's Christmas on Broadway. For the first time ever in my entire life, I quite earnestly and honestly said, bah humbug, to something Christmas related. And that was straight up, like, it wasn't a joke. Like, I was like, you know what? I hate Christmas. Christmas is the worst thing ever. It exhausts me. And now it didn't even wait till December to happen. Like, it's happening the second week of November. What is going on with my life? I was very angry. And so, okay. Well, we're close to Matt Anthony's. They're tapping something new tonight. We'll go to Matt Anthony's. There was not a parking spot to be found at Matt Anthony's. It's like, okay, well, we're close to Chig's. We'll go over there. People had already made their own parking spots over there. There was nothing for us to have there. And so we ended up at Banh Mi Pho, which we love. Do not get me wrong. I love Banh Mi Pho. But I wanted pub food, and then I wanted barbecue, and Korean Vietnamese food was not what I was going to get for that. And it was delicious. And then we got to Banh Mi Pho, and I ordered a drink, and they brought me not the drink that I ordered. And I was like, this isn't what I wanted. And they're like, oh, we're out of what you wanted. Now, come to find out, I didn't actually want what I wanted. I misread the description. But what I thought I was ordering was like ordering a mocha. And what they brought me was kind of like ordering ginseng tea. Delicious, but definitely not what I was wanting in that moment. And I just lost it. Like, I didn't freak out, but it was just like, I'm done. I hate the world. Everything is bad. I'm drinking a drink I don't even like. I paid $5 for it. Yes! Let me get there, Tammy! And I pouted, and you just ask Nora when I'm not around, because she won't say it when I'm not around, but she might say it when I'm gone. It was so immature. I was just, and I'm still sitting here for a reason, because this is just how, like, pouty and childlike I was. I mean, I didn't have a temper tantrum. I'll give myself that. But I definitely, like, annoyance, I had every right for annoyance. It was really annoying. But I didn't need to respond how I did. It was so pointless. Sitting down felt good, but I couldn't see any of you. I get where Jonah's coming from here. Maybe he's just that hateful and terrible. Maybe that's what he's decided to be that day, but I don't think that's just it. I think he's exhausted. And what he's disappointed in, he's disappointed. He wanted God to destroy the Ninevites so much. And it just didn't happen. And what he wanted is terrible. Like, absolutely awful. We're going to get to that. But stop it. Can't see you, but I'm going to point at you. This is just too much. He's just done. I get it. And I get why he's angry. Like, let's not talk about his immature temper tantrum. Let's talk about why he's angry with the Ninevites. He has every right to be angry with them. They destroyed, oh my gosh, they destroyed his people. They destroyed his land. They destroyed his temple. They are the captors for their exile. He has every right to be angry with them. But Jonah takes a step further. All right, which side is it? All right, Jonah takes it a step further. Jonah goes beyond just being angry with them, and he has decided that they are less than human. He looks at the Ninevites, and he doesn't see humans. He doesn't even see evil humans. He doesn't even see terrible, wretched, awful, no good humans, because that's too much for Jonah. He doesn't see humans. He sees an abomination upon the Lord. He sees something that is less than human. He shares nothing in common with these people, not even a biological reality. All he sees is an abomination upon God. That's all he sees. And in that hatred and in that frustration and that anger, the idea that God wouldn't just destroy them is unimaginable. Unimaginable. And so when God doesn't destroy them, because God's loving and God wants repentance, he just can't handle it. Add his exhaustion on top of it, and this thing he should have never wanted and he knew wasn't going to happen, when it didn't happen, it was just more than he could bear. I chose my words carefully there. I called Jonah's view of the Ninevites an abomination upon the Lord because that language feels very familiar to me. I've heard that language multiple times. The less than human, the abomination. I hear people describe Middle Eastern Muslims and that dehumanizing, less than human way that they deserve to be destroyed, that it would be righteous and holy for their innocent to be killed. I hear that dehumanizing language used around homosexuals and transgenders. They are abomination upon the Lord. I've heard that. I've heard those exact words. I grew up with those exact words all the time. An abomination. An excuse to exclude them from love, to exclude them from the fullness of the church. I hear that same language when people describe gun owners. Evil, less than human, more worried about their guns than their God. I hear that language and that sentiment around rich people, that they're scum, that they should be put underfoot and destroyed, that they all should be in prison because they're so evil. I hear that language. I hear that language from Christian conservatives when they talk about Christian liberals. And I hear about that language with Christian liberals when they talk about Christian conservatives. We each have our other. No matter where you are, we each have our other. Our person that we look at and we are like, you are not even human. You deserve God's wrath. To everyone, we have our other, our person that we hate. And then when we see them, and instead of looking at Jonah and seeing, you're ridiculous and this is obscene, we see, huh, maybe Jonah had it right. Maybe Jonah was absolutely right with how he wanted to treat the Ninevites, how he wanted God to treat the Ninevites. Maybe Jonah got it dead on. That's how we treat it. That's how we treat the others. That's how we talk about the other. And again, the other is a different thing for everyone. I have mine. Not necessarily the ones that I mentioned, but I have mine too. And I'm not saying that we don't have reasons to be angry and frustrated. I'm not saying that we have to be happy with those others. I'm not saying that we have to approve of everything that they do. When I spoke at Max Ackerman's funeral, I spoke of the strength to lovingly admonish. And I think that's good. To have a prophetic voice is good. But there is a point where it goes beyond just seeing somebody who's done something wrong and needing course correction and needing guidance to seeing somebody who is evil and God should just destroy because they are irredeemable. There is a difference. What do you want? I'm done.
Usually it's not that annoying, but this is it.
All right, we're just going to do this loud. If you can't hear me, I'm sorry. Which do you want to be? Do you want to be Jonah? Is that the person that you want to be? Where you are so hate-filled that you can look at another human being and see them as anything less than human? That you think God should just bring hellfire and damnation upon them? Because they're broken. But that same God should love you and save you because you're broken. Do you want to be Jonah sitting there in the sun wishing for death, even though he very easily could have just stood up and walked away? But instead, in his hatred and his frustration and his desire to see God destroy them, he just sat there in the sun and let the sun beat down upon him. Is that who you want to be? Or do you want to be like Christ? Going to those that are seen as evil by others and showing them love and compassion. Admonishing, read through the Gospels. Christ is right ready to tell people where they're going wrong, but he loves them and died for them anyway. Do you want to be Jonah or do you want to be Christ? Can't ask it any different. That's the options. Are you willing to love the other or do you want God to hate them as much as you hate them? Do you want to be like Christ? Or do you want to be like Jonah? Do you want to sit and pout because you didn't get what you wanted? Or do you want to appreciate the gifts of others? That's the question. That's the point of Jonah. Are you Jonah? Or are you like Christ? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.